welcome to another Minute to Midnight. Hi, I'm Chris.
And Tony.
And it's we're into the third week of January 2016 already. Is that unbelievable or what?
Yeah, sure is. Gone fast.
Yeah, it has. We've got so much to cover, but in a short time. But since January 1, we've had so many events.
Yeah, well, the economic situation is going downhill fast, isn't it?
It certainly is. We've had the oil price has slumped significantly. We need to be watchful of that over the coming days. I don't say weeks, I say days. There are some people out there issuing warnings at sub $30. Beware. We're at that right now.
For the oil price, you're talking
for the oil price per barrel, $30 a barrel. Yeah. And it's come down from $108 18 months previously to an all-time low of $30. What we've got to be watchful here, Tony, is seeing some of these companies, these oil companies, not being able to sustain such low pricing. And the flow and effect that can have if some of these companies just start all of a sudden going bust, because banks have put a sticking plaster, if you like, on the leaks that are in a lot of these companies, and they'll only do it for so long. And they reckon the guideline is, from what I've heard, $30 a barrel.
Okay. The share market's going down too, I notice, quite a bit since the beginning of the year.
Share market's dropped. I mean, the Chinese, as you know, stopped trading a couple of days in a row because it went beyond its alert system, if you like.
Yeah.
7% was its maximum could drop before, you know, the stops set in for the whole market. The Chinese government decided to let it run a natural path thereafter. But it's still dropping away. And of course, the American, all worldly stock market, all the stock markets around the world are following suit.
Yeah, yep. And it's only going to continue to get worse as the year goes on, I think.
Yeah, there's been a few commentaries out there too come out that a lot of the higher investors have been asked to start dumping stocks. And I mean, if that starts to happen, then you really get a collapse going, or definitely a share market collapse going.
Yeah, and then the derivatives will probably follow.
Derivatives, what else? You know, but
we're heading for a full blown catastrophe, aren't we? If you listen to what Joni Starl had to say in part one of that interview.
Yes.
Not just a collapse, a catastrophe.
Yes, Joni certainly had a lot to talk about, and we could have really focused in on some of the stuff that she brought out. I mean, one thing that comes to mind for me is the fact she said, "Hey, if you've got $1,000 in your bank account in a future event, it could just dwindle to 50."
Yes, that was pretty shocking. In fact, a lot of that stuff in there was pretty shocking, and there's more to come in part two.
Wow, yeah, I look forward to hearing that. But coming back to that point, listeners out there, you need to be aware. There's an open bank resolution that here in New Zealand, the New Zealand government put into place 18 months, 2 years ago, that you may not be aware of. And wherever you're listening from in other countries, you've got something in place where, in the unlikely event to them of a financial disaster, they have the right to raid your bank account, to steal your money.
Yeah, and that's coming, I think.
So this is what she's referring to.
Yeah.
One day you'll have $1,000 in the bank, and the next it'll be 50. So to preserve your wealth, as you know, we're fans of precious metals, physical precious metals, and or take your money out of the bank.
Yep, and don't forget to have your food stored and everything else. But the dependence on God and His guidance is what's going to come down to more than ever.
That's paramount. But I'm hearing people already saying, "Oh, don't say that, it'll cause a bank run." Well, leave it in the bank then.
All right, so we'll now bring part two of the interview series with Joni Stahl. I noticed at one point in that particular prophecy of the armies of heaven and hell moving, at one point you said, faith will be given to those who count nothing as their own but the Lord's. This reminds me of what I read of the great man of faith, George Mueller, who lived in the 1800s, and that's how he lived and ministered for 65 years or more, and God never once failed to provide for him work that he did.
That's true. I mean, and think of that scripture in Psalms. You know, King David said, once I was young and now I'm old, and as long as I've lived, I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. And that is exactly what the Lord was showing me. He said, whatever you have, the Lord is going to multiply it. He wants you to live, because he showed me that a power is going to come in. That a power, right toward the end, he said, it's not going to be what everybody thinks, like we're going to be crawling into heaven, we're running from the Antichrist, we're starving, we're trapped in FEMA camps. He showed me, and if we are, we are, but I'm just saying, he showed me that he has to do that. He's going to cause a great power to come in that is going to cause his people to do miraculous things, okay? Because there's going to be people that are going to still have to come in at the end. So there's going to be a food shortage. How he's going to do it? We serve an awesome God. Think about it, Tony. Think about what he said to Abraham. Abraham said, I don't want any reward. You can feed my men the food that you've been given them. Remember that next night, the Lord appeared to him and he said, Abraham, he said, you know, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I don't want you to do anything. Remember, he said he wanted a child. And remember, he was in his tent. He was dreaming. And remember, the Lord said, go out of your tent. And he went out of his tent and he looked up at that sky and he said, look up. Remember, he told him, look up. And he said, he saw the stars and he said, if you can count the stars, so will your descendants be. This is the view Christ wants us to have. This is prayer. This is a prayer. This is the power of prayer. This is a potent prayer that's going to enter into people to look. He wants to have a height and a breadth view. When you really understand who we are, and I believe the Holy Spirit is going to pour out this power on his people to do last minute acts of power. This, he also told me, he said, I'm going to make my presence known this year more than at any other time through these acts, through the common people. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a little lady, you're a janitor over there. I don't care. But a power, see, he has to give us power to do this. But he's waiting to do it, okay? And he's going to do it. He told me he's going to do it so that there is a joy and a preparing to go with Christ when he comes again. He's not going to come for a bruised up, battered bride. So we have some last minute work. I do believe with all my heart from what the Lord showed me, we are going to have to go through some things. And the reason why we're going to have to go through some intense things is he is going to use these terrifying circumstances and things that are coming, because he's going to use it, number one, to wake people up, and number two, to see who serves him. Remember, he says to serve him and who doesn't. He says in Malachi, he's chapter 3, he said, for I will again put a difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. He said he's going to do it. We don't have the power to do it, but we're going to do it. And so, you know, we're going to run like mighty men have vouched for war. Because really, Tony, think about it. We are mighty in Christ. We are military minded. You know, not everybody's called to be a soldier, but everybody has the power of Christ. So whatever the Lord is going to have people doing, it's going to be with heightened power. And Satan's going to come against that power. He's going to try to destroy. He's going to try to destroy wonderfully. But the Lord is going to let him, and this is what the Lord wants everybody to hear. Don't be afraid, because Satan's going to fight against that. But the minute he does, it's going to increase the force and power of the Lord. So this is the powers of heaven and hell working against heaven, you know, working against each other. But I believe this, when we go out of here, Tony, it's going to be in a blaze of glory. And it's going to not be where, remember when Satan, remember he opposed the body of Moses? Remember he said, remember he stood against the body of Moses? Yeah. Well, think about how he's going to oppose an entire, I don't know who's going. The Lord only knows who's going, but he wants to oppose that. You know, remember Jesus said, take heed unto yourselves that your hearts be not overcharged with surfeiting, meaning overeating, and drunkenness and with the cares of this life. He said, so that you may not, he said, for that, so that you may not be caught in the snare of what's coming upon the face of the whole earth. Therefore, pray that ye may escape what shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So he understands, you know, if you think about it, America really, in a sense, is like the fatted calf. Haven't we been the fatted calf? I mean, look at us. I mean, we've had everything at our disposal. But what happened is we sold our soul to the lowest bidder. We gave up. We turned our back on God. I mean, I can take it down downtown with this, but we all know what we did. I wanted to share this with you, Tony, really quick. 2 years ago, the Lord showed me, and I was in devotion. I was quiet. I was meditating. My mind was clear. And I heard the Lord say this to me very clearly. And it seemed weird and odd to me. And I thought, I don't care. I'll write it down and put it away. If it doesn't happen, I don't care. But he said, the beginning sign will be in Oklahoma. And I thought, Oklahoma? What happens in Oklahoma? Nothing happens in Oklahoma. Well, it wasn't long after that, I saw that Baphomet statue.
Yes. That they, right? Yes, yep.
And I went, wait a minute. And then what happened? It became the earthquake capital of our United States.
Yeah.
Another thing the Lord showed me, before Obama leaves office, he told me this very clearly, and I heard it loud and clear. He said, before Obama leaves office, he is going to be caught red-handed. And the Lord gave me a vision of him. You know when you when somebody's like in the dark sneaking, like maybe a robber, and he's sneaking in the dark? And then you get a flashlight and you put it on high beams and you have this look of terror. You're caught.
Yeah.
That's how the Lord showed me how he looked. You know, and also too, the Lord showed me in another vision. I saw myself standing with a little group of people and Obama was standing in front of us speaking. And he was dressed casually like he was out of his suit. And he was giving like a last address to us. He was basically saying his time was up. He did the best he could. He was giving this speech to us that he did the best he could as a president and so forth. And some man came out of nowhere and it was urgent. He said, like he needed to get him out of there. He was like a Secret Service agent, like trying to pull him out of there. Let's go. Let's go. And it was like, what? Next thing you know, he just disappeared. Obama disappeared. And then I was looking around and he was gone. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I turn around. And I saw a casket, and the top half was open. You know how top half opens and you see the top half of the body. And I looked, and I saw him in a casket. And I walked over, and I looked at him, and he had this evil grin on his face, like he was dead, but he wasn't dead. And next thing you know, his entire top half of his body turned into a flaming inferno, and he let out this demonic laugh. Like, and I got the feeling like he got the last laugh. It was something so horrible that I was so horrified by it. Like I jumped away from it and I woke up. So the Lord's showing me that right before he leaves, there's something that he's going to be caught doing red-handed by the whole world.
On January the 7th, Joni, you had a... posted a dream called about the government seizing homes and laying siege to them, the government taking property. Can you explain what you saw there?
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly what I saw. Again, I was with this man. Like I was walking by myself at first and he came and he asked me to go with him and it was urgent. And we walked away and we came up to what looked like, you know, like condo homes. You know how they are like, okay. So I didn't know why we were there and he knocked at the door and a young man answered and the man was frantic. Like he looked scared. He was terrified. He was shaking. And we went in and we shut the door and he said to the man, he said, I'm not staying. I'm leaving. Do you want to go with us, with me? And the man I was with said, no. And he said, okay, well, you know what? I'm leaving. And he went into the other room, grabbed a bag. You can hear him rifling around back there. Grabs his bag, races past us, goes out the door and slams it. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, there's no reason for us to be here. We could go now. And I said, well, let's go because there's no reason. And he said, just wait a minute. And just then I heard loud, terrible screaming, like a woman's voice screaming badly. And so I was like, oh my gosh, what is that? And I opened the door and I looked out like I was just kind of peering out. And I saw these men dressed in fatigues. I mean, straight up fatigues, black jumpsuits. They had rifles. They were yanking this old lady. She looked like she was like 90 years old. I mean, she was fighting for her life to not lose that. I mean, they were dragging her away. She was hanging on to the door jams and kicking, and they just took her away. And right when I was looking at that, that man I was with stood next to me. I said, did you see that? Oh my gosh. And he said, and he was very calm, like, he was just very calm, like there was a strength to his calmness. And he said, in the last days, he said, there will be a food shortage that is so severe. In the beginning, it won't be severe. In the beginning, they will allow people to leave their homes to go and get food allotted for them for their homes. But as the supply runs out, they're going to purposely starve the people out to force them out of their homes. And as soon as they leave their homes, their government will seize the homes and they will never be allowed to return to their homes again.
Wow.
So yeah.
Do you think this will only occur in the USA, or do you think it's likely to happen in other parts of the world as well?
I think it's likely to happen anywhere in the world, but I definitely saw it here in the United States. I mean, we can definitely look at what's happening all over the world. I mean, let's face it. I mean, there's mega droughts. The largest grain silos in the world are empty. The earth is not producing the food that it used to. Fukushima's wiping out the ocean. I mean, there's some serious problems here. Yeah. But there's another one I wanted to share with you, and I think it's very significant, and I really want to share it. Yeah, I had this vision that I saw myself sitting in a courtroom on the witness stand. And to the right, of course, was the judge. And there was in front of me a panel of men, like maybe five or six men, and they were older men, like with gray hair and kind of distinguished looking, and at a long table. And there was a prosecutor standing in front of me, and he was very wicked looking, and I didn't know why I was there at first, of course. And so the first thing he says to me, and he says it with this evil face, I mean, his eyes were black. He had this wicked mocking smile. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. That is exactly how he looked. And he said to me, so let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? And my heart started to race. I looked at the judge and he was kind of frowning at me. And then I looked at the men and I knew that if I answered no, that I'd be denying Christ and I would get to go free, but then my denial of Christ would cost me an eternal separation from him. But if I said, yes, I believe, that it was going to go very bad for me. So I chose and I said, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is God. And I looked and the men were writing things down, and that wicked prosecutor looked over his shoulder and he nodded like, see, you know, it was going good for him. And he kept bombarding me with these questions. So do you believe that he is God? Do you believe he speaks to you? When he speaks to you, what do you hear? Do you hear his voice? What do you believe? Do you believe he's coming again? And I'm saying, and I'm nodding, and I'm saying yes to all these things, and I'm trying to answer, but he was bombarding me. And as he was bombarding me with these questions, and the men were writing, you know, down everything, or whatever they were writing. And I heard a voice override his voice till it silenced his voice out. And I heard that voice say to me, in the last days, Christians will be hauled in to tribunals just like this. And whosoever confesses me will be cast into mental facilities and deemed insane. A year after I had that vision, I saw a new report from the Psychiatric Council that they said that people that they have a new, a new condition, you know, like ADHD or whatever it is, you know, they have different labels for different, but that there's a special one for Christians and that the government has now officialized it. And I read, it was a comprehensive article, but I read it. And it said that they have all agreed, the psychiatric community agreed, that whoever says in an interview with a psychiatrist that they hear the Lord speaking to them, that they are in love with God, that they believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that they are going to consider them mentally deficient and ill. That was their own report. You could look it up. It's easy to Google.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy. Not a good thing. Wow, you also, on January the 7th, I see you posted an article saying there will be a price on the head of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be hated and hunted. So can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah. In my dream, I immediately saw myself in a car in the passenger seat. There was two girls in the back seat. I didn't know any of these people. There was a man driving, and we were on a two-lane highway bolting it out of the city. We were in a country, but it was like barren, like there was no trees, and he was racing, like he was sweating. He was terrified. He was leaning over the steering wheel. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what is happening? I knew we were escaping, but I did not know sure at that point what we were escaping from. I just knew like we were escaping for our very lives. And all of a sudden he just hangs this quick left and he goes, takes this dirt road that was awful. I mean, we were bouncing around and he's still going 60 miles an hour over it, what it seemed like. And then all of a sudden, as as we were going, I saw in the distance a group of people. And I could see there were wild people. They were people that were filthy. It was like a homeless encampment. And as we got closer, he decided to go slower because that road went through that encampment and it was our only way to escape to get out. So I knew he was slowing down because he wanted to show them that we weren't a threat, that we were just passing through peacefully. As we got closer, I saw everybody dressed in filthy rags. Everybody was filthy. They were like animals. They looked and behaved like animals. They were violent. There was a dumpster. They were racing to this dumpster, and there was a man that was just as wicked as them, and he was trying to control them because they were so hungry. They turned into animals out of hunger. As we were starting to go through them, they looked at us like they wanted to kill us. Like I knew that if they caught us, they would absolutely kill us. So when they started to jump on the car, the man floored it and we got out of there. And then shortly right after that, we're in this suburban neighborhood and the sun was going down and he pulls up to a house and I'm like, where are we? And he didn't say a word. So we all got out, we followed him to the door and I said, who lives here? And he didn't answer me. He said, just be quiet. And he opened the door and we all went in and you could tell somebody lives there, but they weren't home. He said, listen, we only have so long to be here. We cannot travel at night. We have to get some sleep. And I said, okay. So me and the two other girls, we go into a room and we could see the home belonged to a Christian just because of the things that were laying around. Well, we didn't sleep because we were too afraid. And so it seemed like the sun was rising up faster than we had time to rest. And so we heard the man talking to somebody. It had to be the homeowner. So we came out and he was talking to this older woman. And the woman was a Christian and she was quiet. She was kind, but she was scared. And she went into her refrigerator. She was grabbing things and just throwing them into his arms. And she was saying, here, you have to leave right now. You have to go take this, go, go. She was pushing us out of her house and she shut the door. And we stood out there and I looked up and down the street, but it was dead, not just because it was sunrise. There was a distinct deadness to it, like fear kept everybody locked behind the doors. And we all got in the car, and I was going to get in the car, and I saw one of the girls. She looked at me, and she changed. She had this absolutely evil look on her face. And I said, get in the car. And she said, no. And I said, get in the car. We have to leave right now. We have to hurry. And she just kind of smirked and laughed. And she slammed the door and turned around and walked off. And I got in the car, and this feeling of terror came over all of us, because we knew that that girl who claimed to be a Christian, something had happened, and we know she was on her way to go turn us in. When I woke up, the Lord gave me this interpretation. He said, there's going to come a time where it's going to be very dangerous. He said, there's going to become a time where it's going to be very dangerous to associate yourself with me, speaking of himself. He said, anybody that associates himself with me will be a target. Being in church buildings will become the most dangerous place you can be. You're going to have to be able to listen to me, because the very people you have gone to church with, the people you have trusted, that you have worshiped with, that because of starvation, because of fear, because of even just being, maybe they just turn evil, they're going to turn you in, because there's going to become a bounty. It's going to turn into that, that there's going to be a bounty on the heads of Christians, because we're going to be considered terrorists in a certain way. Like, you know, they're going to hunt us down. The Lord showed me that he's going to have people in different places set up that he's going to protect. These are going to be suppliers. He's going to have them protected. He's not going to, for some supernatural way, they're not going to be found out who they are. No matter how hard the enemy tries, no matter how much the government tries to flush them out or look for them, the Lord's going to have them in supernatural locations, and where he's not going to let anybody know where they are, nor is he going to let anybody remember where they were. He's going to that's why individual personal listening to the Lord is going to mean your safety for yourself and for your family. In the event that you have to go, he's going to lead you to certain people that will supply what you need. But whether or not you'll stay there for a night or a day will be determined in that moment per person and per individual and circumstance. And once you leave that place, you're not going to remember how to get back there. He's going to be using people that way. Also, too, a sad thing will happen. He showed me that the people that will turn you in that are Christians, he said to forgive them, because the reason why they'll be turning you in is because they have children, they're starving, and the price that they can get for turning in Christians will buy their children food. So that's pretty much what he told me.
So God will supernaturally protect his people, though.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Now, in your personal life and in your work situation, are you sort of getting anything, you know, like we're dealing a lot with the prophetic here, but in the actual world of now, are you sort of seeing things or hearing things that are giving you any inclination that we really are on this path other than just prophetically?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty interesting. Like, I mean, I won't name the club that I work at, but it's an elitist club, and most of the members are senators, congressmen. You know, we have presidents that come through there, ex-presidents. So I hear a lot of things, you know. As a matter of fact, like when they hired me, they said, okay, I've worked there for some years now. And they said, okay, you've heard that saying, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And I've said, yes. And they said, well, that applies here. I didn't know what they meant at the time, but I know now. But I'm at the point now where, I mean, I won't name the name of the place, but like I told you about what that Secret Service man said, you know, he's Obama's guy. I mean, he protects Obama all the time. I got the feeling that, you know, it didn't matter anymore because he was leaving. But yeah, I mean, I do get around and I do see things. Like, there are certain, like, we have a thing called distinguished speakers, and they come and they speak, and they're like high ranking military officials of, say, maybe the Navy or the Army, what so have you. I mean, we're talking colonels and stuff like that. They come and they discuss issues relating, though it's secular, they're worried. Okay. And so they're giving everybody the lowdown, because everybody that belongs to this club, they're multimillionaires or billionaires. And so they're big contributors. So there's a lot of, I mean, it's a Republican machine. Okay. So I hear a lot of stuff because I've become, over the years, I've become very good friends with certain of the members. And so they start to tell me where there'll be private meetings, because there's private event rooes. And so I'll ask them, you know, I will come out and ask them, because I can't, but I'll say, oh, how did the meeting go? Was it good? And they'll say, well, yeah, you know. And now that they've gotten to know me more, they're letting out more stuff, not realizing that they're letting it out, because they just think, oh, that's just Joni. She's just concierge. She just sits there. She doesn't know anything. You know what I mean? It's kind of a nice low place to be, because people think you don't know anything and they'll tell you stuff. You
right. Uh-huh. Kind of, yep, cool. Yep. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, cool. Now, I was also looking on the 5th of January, you posted an entry of a prophetic message where it's the time to gather things and get more is over. So can you perhaps give us a little bit more of a rundown on that?
Yeah, you know, the Lord, yeah, because what the Lord was showing me very clearly, and that was like, one day I was just sitting there, you know, because I spend time in the Word, you know, and it's not just that I'm just reading the Word. Like, there's, you know, through the years, I've learned how to just sit and be quiet. Sometimes He doesn't say anything at all to me. A lot of times He doesn't, you know, but when He does, I know His voice. So I write it down. So He was basically showing me that, you know, this, the attitude of like gathering things, having more things, buying more things, being focused on having new things. I'm not saying not to go out and, you know, have the necessities and buy things, but He's speaking primarily to His people that understand the times that they're living in. Okay. This is not the time. This is no longer. Remember what He says to Haggai? He says, is this the time to build sealed houses? Right?
Yep.
The last temple is destroyed, and yet you're building all your own stuff, right? And you're gathering things for yourself. It's pretty much like that is what I was hearing from Him. You know, I mean, and I want to say this. I know I don't have to backpedal, but I want to say this because I know a lot of people are going to be listening to it. And, you know, a lot of people that are going to ask, you know, ask, well, does that mean we stop buying everything right now? We just stop buying. We just don't live. No, there's a balance to everything. What He's trying to show you is something that is coming, that the entire over 2,000 years has been building up to happen. And that is, the Lord is coming again. And His coming is so near. He's trying to show you the value, like the more, it's like less is more. The more you give away, the more, it's like the more you have, the more it owns you. He doesn't want anything to own you anymore. He doesn't want anything at all to stand in between your soul and Him. He doesn't want you to be concerned about what you're going to have, what you're going to buy. And those are going to be things He's going to test us on too. We're all going through it, myself included. And because He wants us to travel light. He wants us to release these things. Another thing He's saying, remember before, earlier, Tony, I was saying about the fact that the Lord was showing me He's not coming for a bruised, battered bride. I mean, nobody wants to, you know, pick up a bride that's destroyed. So there is going to be glory in Him getting us ready. You know, a lot of people, we hear that constantly. Get ready, the Lord is coming. Get ready. Well, you know, we could all say, okay, but what do you do, right? The thing is, like, what do you do to get ready? Put food in the pantry, attend church, Bible study, and maybe throw in some extra teaching? No. Listen, John the Baptist said it. Jesus said it too, that a man can receive nothing except to be given to him from above. And this is what I want to expound on regarding this that you asked me about. See, what our carnal life teaches and what the enemy likes to trap us in is that, like what Nebuchadnezzar said, when he walked on the palace, on the roof of his palace overlooking his kingdom and said, is this not the great Babylon that I have built? Right? Remember, is this not, right? Is it not? And remember, he said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, while thy word is still in thy mouth, you're going out into the palace courtyard, right? Because he was warned. He was warned 2 years before that, right? To repent and give glory to God. And he didn't do it. So we are so filled up with things, we don't realize we are owned by them. Even the things in our life, like our debt, things, our losses, even things that aren't your fault, destructions that happened to your life, people who left you, things that happened to you that have taken away your power, the power to be before Christ, to look to him, to acknowledge the time you're living in, because I'm talking about distinction here. I'm not talking about an open-ended, willy-nilly, here we are, Lord, we're preparing. But for us to start being direct, but there's things that are blocking his way. But he wants us to know that he's going to do it for us so that we can hear his voice. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I wish I can hear from the Lord like you do, Joan. I say, anybody can hear from the Lord.
We all need to hear from God for ourselves. I think that's a critical thing. Knowing that, you know, we can't get everything on someone else's coattails. It's why we're all going to need to have our ears sharpened to hear the voice of God ourselves, I believe. So one thing I was interested here to ask is Mystery Babylon. Many people there, you know, some people are saying literal Babylon will be rebuilt, and some are saying it's Mecca, and some are saying it's Rome, and some are saying it's the United States of America, and some are saying it's just a total system. I'm wondering, I mean, I'm leaning towards my thinking is it's a system, and that the literal place of Babylon is the United States of America. Not saying I'm necessarily right, but that is more and more what I'm feeling, is it? I'm wondering what your thoughts are there.
Well, I'll be happy to answer that. First of all, I do not believe it will be the Catholic Church, because how could it be a mystery?
Yeah.
Catholic Church is no mystery to us.
No, and Rome was also, they considered Rome to be Babylon. When John was writing the book of Revelation, they all knew Rome was Babylon at the time, so it was no mystery. So well, it has to be something other than Rome to me.
Well, it has different meanings, Tony. I mean, look at what it says about the two witnesses. I mean, it talks about the two witnesses, and they're talking about when they were slain. But remember, they called Jerusalem Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, when we use the word Babylon, you know, we can look at that as saying, okay, that's over in the Middle East. That's where the Garden of Eden was. I mean, we can look at all that. I believe that, you know, right now I look at that area being the epicenter of the political Antichrist. Anything can change. I'm open these days. Things are changing so much. But about the mystery Babylon, I look at it yourself as being a system. The woman rides the beast, okay? So the beast is the Antichrist who supports what I believe she represents is an amalgamation of every religion. Because remember, for the first 3.5 years, I mean, if you want to be a Mormon, be a Mormon. You want to be a Buddhist, be a Buddhist. Everybody's going to be allowed, because remember, he's religious, okay? So don't forget, he's got to trick the Jews. So remember, he's got to gain their trust. You know, of course, remember this, you know, the abomination of desolation. Daniel says, he that hath understanding, let him understand, you know. So we understand that when that he sets up that image of Revelation chapter 13, verse 12, right? Says, let him that understand, let him get out. Because that image is where we know he's going to set himself up, whoever this man of sin is, okay? And so his system, well, remember, he's going to fight. Remember, they're going to fight against him. So the first 3.5 years that we understand, he's going to let that woman, remember, he's going to want to kill the woman. Remember that? He's going to do away with her because he wants what? He wants ultimate sacrifice, just like Satan said, if you will but fall down and worship me, all shall be thine, right? So, you know, all the way to the very end, it's not going, I think that mystery, when it talks about mystery, it goes into that mystery Babylon religion. Remember when Jesus said, people could get confused of this, okay? They say, therefore, he says, you know, call no man your father. Well, you know, everybody stumbles on that. They go, so am I not supposed to call my dad anymore? What he's talking about was when the Jewish people went into captivity for 7 years, and they started to blend in with the Babylonian mysticism school of black magic. Okay, so they started to combine Judaism with Babylonian mysticism. Okay, that's where you get the tradition of the fathers. That's where you get the Nicolaitans, because the Nicolaitans at that point were blending Christianity, they added on Christianity to the Babylonian mysticism and Judaism. That's Nicolaitanism. That's where you get the Catholic Church. Okay, so so the mystery, he's talking about that mystery that came through that system. It's occultic, okay? And it deals in the paranormal. Because let's face it, Satan used to be the anointed cherub. He's not anointed anymore. He operates now in the paranormal, okay? So we've seen it. He can make statues weep blood. He can manifest all kinds of stuff. And I'm telling you, there's stuff we haven't seen Satan can do because the restrainer's holding him back. So, I mean, I don't really think it's a big deal that he's going to put some statue up and he's going to give life to it. He can give life to a statue to bleed and cry or whatever. He can do whatever he wants. I believe it's going to happen with an entire global economic, not disaster, a catastrophe. That's going to rock this world. He's going to come in. Remember, he comes in according to Daniel 9. In Daniel 9:26, remember, he says that he confirms the covenant for a week. So there's already a covenant in place. He just comes to confirm it. Okay? So he has to start a new economic system, right? It does say, if you're going to buy and sell.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm expecting that there will be a collapse of the current financial system and that we will end up with a completely new system. I mean, in this show, we deal a fair bit with the Illuminati and Illuminati symbolism and different things. Yeah. And I firmly believe that that is the Illuminati's plan, to collapse the current system in order to bring in a new one. And under that system is where we will see the mark of the beast and all that. That's my personal opinion on it.
I agree. And, you know, I mean, I studied Illuminism. I mean, I studied that years ago for years. I mean, I studied everything I can get my hands on. I mean, I took it down to the roots of it, you know, and we understand that goes all the way back to Egyptian mysticism and all of that, you know. But truly, I mean, if you look at all over the world, I mean, if I may go on a side note, we know that, look at the obelisk. What is the obelisk? We know that the obelisk is a phallus symbol. The four sides of the top, the point is pointing to the rays of Baal. Who is Baal? That's Satan, the sun god. And the four sides emanate his power to the four corners of the earth. Okay? So we know that this is a mysticism that has traveled through the times of, you know, we look at Isis, Osiris, Horus, you know, the Trinity. So we look through all that and we see that through the years, what Satan, here's something that is really missing. What I learned early on as a Christian is you better understand the origin of everything, right? Because otherwise, if you don't know what you're buying into, like I personally, I don't want anything to do with yoga. Some people will argue and say, "What? That's ridiculous. It's good for you." And I say, really? Well, every one of those poses is a portal to have that evil spirit, that demon god. You're doing a position per that god. You're opening up yourself to demonic intrusion. I personally want nothing to do with anything Eastern mystical. So what we have is people of this, and you know, look, again, I love the people. I'm not going to pick on people. I'm saying, educationally speaking, observationally, is that we have a generation of Christians that they will go running into anything and they'll say, and I've heard Christians say it, Christian women, "Well, I know yoga is really bad. I know all that. You've told me all that before. But while I'm doing those poses, I'm just saying, oh, Lord, I just praise you and I thank you." And I'm like, yeah, but that reminds me of that scripture where it says, "My people blaspheme my name all day long." And then they go in the temple and with that, and then they bless me. You know, it's like you have to choose whose side you're on. And I feel very strongly to say, what's going to happen is going to cause you. If you don't choose, here's what the Lord showed me. If you don't choose your way because maybe you're complacent, you're doubting, you're unsure, you're uneducated, whatever. The Lord said he's going to cause the situations to make you choose because you're going to have to choose or it's going to choose for you. But he wants to give you the option to choose yourself. He doesn't look for those of us who have been bearing the battle in the heat of the day for the last 40 years. And you've been a Christian forever. You know, I'm a fighter. God called me into spiritual warfare. Do I do it all the time? No, not unless he calls me to do it. I will not go into any unauthorized battles. However, I am a fighter. That's the gifts he puts in me. Have I laid hands on the sick and they recovered? Yes. The gifts that are in me are his to employ. I don't make a decision. He makes a decision. I just have to be ready to be used by him. Okay? They're his gifts to give. But, you know, for those of us who have weathered, who are salty, who have been fallen down seven times and risen again, who have lost everything over and over, and we still stand upright, there's a power in that. And he's going to see, he's trying to tell us as people groups, like those of us who are salty veterans. I'm not saying we're anything, but I'm just saying there is something to that he's showing. He said he's going to be able to command those of us a whole lot easier. As you were saying, this is not a time to get anything, but things to give away. He said it's a whole lot easier. He told me this, to command those that have lost everything and though I've given them things back for their life, it doesn't own them anymore. That's the point. Okay. So I don't know, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but I can certainly say for myself, all my life, I've been learning to be at his command. And I have a normal life. I'm married. I have a job. I live a normal life. But let me tell you something. On top of my head, there's an invisible radar that never turns off. Because he disciplined me like that. And I know there's many out there just like me, that all their life, he's been getting them ready to march.
We've been talking with Joni Stahl. You can find Joni's stuff at z3news.com. And we will be continuing on this in the next broadcast.
What an interview that was, folks. That's obviously going to be leave a lot of people thinking about a lot of things. But that's all we got time for today. It's been great to have you listen to our show. And if you want to, we'd love you to actually to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And you can also email us and make a subscription there. It's free. So why we call it a subscription, we don't know. But anyway, you can subscribe to us. And until next time, it's goodbye from me, Chris.
And here from Tony as well.